What happened was MSPB develops a research agenda, which is basically a list of topics that it may study. This agenda is developed through stakeholder input from various sources, such as agency leaders, human resource professionals, public service interest groups, employee groups, labor unions, and individuals who subscribe to MSPB's mailing list. The study of the senior executive service has been a long-standing topic of interest, and we decided to look at training and development of executives because the scope of their jobs, the number of people they supervise, the amount of funding they control can have a major impact on their team and organizational performance. As it turns out, this report is particularly timely because of the recently announced executive order on SES reform. Much of the content of the report can help agencies determine an appropriate strategy for training executives. For instance, there are a number of major training activities that are discussed, and the report examines the advantages, the disadvantages, the effectiveness, and the cost of that particular training activity.
We'll move into some of the specific findings in your report in a minute, but I did want to ask you a little bit about how you compiled this information. I know that you used results from an OPM SES survey from fiscal year 2011, but I also know that you sent out a questionnaire to the agencies. So could you tell me a little bit about the questionnaire and what kinds of things you asked them?
Foundation for some of the questions in the questionnaire actually came from the results of OPM's survey. The questionnaire was basically developed to provide a more in-depth information about some of the responses executives provided on the OPM survey. For instance, the questionnaire, OPM survey asked about obstacles that prevented executives from getting the training they needed. The questionnaire asked agencies about the strategies that they developed to help mitigate some of those obstacles. But some of the major obstacles, of course, are funding, lack of funding, and lack of time. And agencies develop some pretty unique responses for handling those issues.
Well, let's get into, you know, some of those responses, some of the things that you heard from the agencies. You mentioned their unique responses to the obstacle question, but any other things that you heard from the agencies that were particularly surprising or anything that you weren't expecting to see?
While not totally unexpected, agencies discussed how reduced funding negatively impacted their ability to train executives, and that was a theme that was heard consistently throughout the questionnaires, that the working in an environment where there was reduced funding oftentimes meant cuts to the training and development that executives and other employees within the agencies could receive. So I think the emphasis on how much that impacted their training budget was a little bit of a surprise. I expected some of it, but perhaps not to the extent that I received.
Right. There seemed to be a little bit of a discrepancy between what agencies planned as far as developmental training for their SES members and what agencies were actually reporting was getting done. Wondered if maybe you could discuss that a little bit.
With the training, first of all, approximately half of the senior executives have an executive development plan. And this is a plan that's used to guide their training and development. So 50% of them don't have it. Then even when they do have an EDP, oftentimes there's no follow-up to see that the training and development identified on the EDP is actually something the executive receives. Either there's no follow-up or there's no written documentation. So either way, there's not a record of what has happened, what the training needs are, and the training that they've received in many cases.
Do you think that goes back to the time and lack of funding issue at all?
The lack of documentation and lack of follow-up may be partly to do with how actually executives are trained and developed. In some agencies, it's centrally managed. In some agencies, it's locally managed. In other agencies, there's a combination of the two, of central and locally managed training. So there doesn't seem to be one place where things are necessarily recorded, and that may contribute to lack of documentation or perhaps lack of consistency.
Now, I know that your chairman, in a letter to Congress and the president, described the current practices under the Civil Service Reform Act. I think she used the phrase more of a vision than a reality. Can you talk a little bit about that and why that is?
Well, initially under the CSRA, executives were to be managed so that they could receive initial and continuing systematic development. Results from our questionnaire, from OPM surveys and other places indicate that training and development is less than systematic. As I mentioned, some is managed locally, some of the training is managed centrally. The number and types of training available to executives varies widely between agencies. Some agencies only have a few types of training activities that they offer their executives. Others offer a full gamut, a wide range of activities. So in terms of how their training and development is managed, it's not as systematic as was initially envisioned. Beyond the differences in how training is managed, the original expectation of the senior executives was that they would be a government-wide leadership resource to be deployed wherever they were needed throughout government. The practice is that in addition to leadership competencies, many of the senior executive positions require technical ability. During 2014, 80% of the career executive vacancy announcements that were advertised in USA Jobs required that applicants provide information about at least one technical competency before they could be considered qualified for the position. And it may be the requirement of a technical competency that hinders the mobility of executives between agencies.
The new executive order on the SES is, you know, an attempt to get everybody on the same page, I would say, as far as, you know, a government-wide vision for the SES. Can you touch a little bit on some of the other recommendations that you make?
One of the recommendations in the report, of course, is that the executive development be tailored to that individual's training needs. We don't want to get into a situation where a training is given as a kind of check-the-box type exercise, but it actually addresses the needs of that particular executive. Another recommendation, of course, is that all training activities be evaluated to determine if they're actually accomplishing what was intended, what the intended result was. Evaluation does a couple things. First of all, it gives agencies information about whether or not they're spending their funds wisely, how well a program is working or training activity is working, what might be done to improve it. And also, there's some research that supports that evaluating a training event actually helps with transferring what was learned in the training event to application on the job. There's some speculation that this occurs because what gets measured gets done. But we really don't know the reason. We just know that there is a connection between training transfer and evaluation of that training.